It's a good morning, and I'm glad to be here and be with you folks this morning. Hadn't been that long. I didn't think about being back again so soon, but I'm glad I am. It's a privilege for me, and I thank you for the opportunity. The only way that we can come to Jesus Christ is by knowing God, by knowing His Father. Because he predicated everything that he did because it was the will of his Father. He came because it was God's will. He died because it was God's will. We are so thankful that our God has thought enough of us and given enough forethought to know that we would need a Savior and was willing to make that sacrifice. In Acts the 17th chapter, Paul, as he was on Mars Hill and he was speaking with these people in Athens that were always looking to learn something new, he said to those people in verses 22 and 23, "Then Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with an inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" It was Paul's desire to declare God unto these people, because until they knew God, they couldn't know His Son. Until we know God, we can't know the Son. We can't really appreciate Jesus Christ until we know what God is able to do. Our God is able to do everything that He has promised without fail. No promise that He has ever made has gone without being fulfilled. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 and 9, Paul further said to the Corinthians, he said, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever." Paul said, our God is able. And throughout the scriptures, we read and can find out where God is able to do things that we never, ever even imagine. And today, He can still do things that we don't imagine. He can take care of us. Turn over to the 119th Psalm. I want to look at the picture that God gives to us. I'm sorry, the 139th Psalm. David gives us a picture in words of God. And this is one of the most telling passages that helps us to learn who God is. Of course, if we make a concerted effort to read the Old Testament, we get to know God pretty well. We get to learn who He is and how He has kept His promises. But in the 139th Psalm, we learn some things about God. For instance, in verse 2, "Thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." We learn here that God is all-knowing. He knows what's in us. He knows our thoughts. We can't keep it from God. We make a practice in our lives many times to try to deceive. We try to keep people from knowing what we really intend, but we cannot keep God from knowing. He knows. And so it behooves us to train ourselves to keep our thoughts pure. It behooves us to train ourselves to know that God is listening to our every thought. In verse 7, we learn further that not only is God all-knowing, but that God is all-present. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, in verse 7, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God is everywhere. We need to take that in two ways. We need to take it in that God sees us when we're trying to do things that we shouldn't. He knows what we do. He sees us. He's there with us. But more importantly, I believe, for Christians, is we need to know that God will be with us in every situation, and He will hold our hand, just as the psalmist says. He will be with us. There's nothing more intimate than holding one's hand. When you hold the hand of your wife or husband, you feel a closeness. You feel something from within them that they trust you, that they pray that you will always be there with them. When God is holding our hand, we must understand that He wants to help us. He wants to be there. It's His desire to help us through everything that we go through in this life. And life brings many problems for all of us. No one is exempt from problems in life. It's not whether or not, and I've said this so many times, it's not whether or not we will face problems. It's how will we face the problems? Will we face them knowing that God is with us, that He will help us, and that we don't have to despair? The third thing that we learn here in this 139th Psalm, in verse 14, the psalmist says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thy soul showeth right well, or knoweth right well. God does things, and He does it the best. Everything that He has made, it never ceases to amaze me, the intricacy and the perfection of the human body. I was at the dentist the other day, and I mentioned to the hygienist that was cleaning my teeth, I said, isn't it marvelous that God gave us teeth that would last our whole lives? He knew we would need teeth to eat, to chew food. And He gave us a material in our teeth that starts from nothing. It grows. But think how durable just that one thing. That's how God works. Everything that He has made, He's made us marvelously. We are perfectly made. And if we'll allow God, He will work through us. And He'll help us in everything that we do. So the Bible helps us to learn about the abilities of God. That's why it's so important to read. That's why Paul said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, to the Romans. We learn about God. The more we know about God, the greater our faith will become, because that faith will sustain us. God is able. Well, how do we know that? Besides knowing all that God is capable of doing, God is able to fulfill His promises. He's able to take care of His people. Israel wandered through the promised land for 40 years, or to the promised land for 40 years. And in all that time, they had food, they had water, their clothes never wore out, they didn't get sick, the women didn't miscarry, they had their babies, their shoes didn't wear out. For 40 years, God took care of them as they wandered, as He was leading them to the promise. What a blessing that was for them. Many of them didn't recognize it, but God blessed them anyway. Just as today, many of us, many people don't recognize how much God blesses us. God blesses us anyway. He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He blesses us day in and day out. There are demonstrations of God's abilities throughout the Bible. I want to just mention two or three to help us understand that God is able to do some other things for us today. Go back to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. God called upon Abraham. The scripture says, the King James Version says, God tested Abraham. The better language there is God chose to let Abraham have this ability. He gave him the opportunity. God didn't throw this test out to Abraham to see whether or not he would take it. He gave him the opportunity to give God his whole being. Abraham, sacrifice your son. Abraham didn't hesitate. Abraham was a man of faith, and his faith now has come to us, and we learn many things because of the faith of Abraham. But God commanded, and Abraham obeyed without question. Now, why was that? Was it just Abraham didn't have any better sense than to go sacrifice his son? He didn't know that this was the seed that God had promised that all nations would be blessed through? No, he knew those things. But he knew something else. We learn as we read through the New Testament over in Hebrews, as God points out in Hebrews 11 about the faithful. He talks about Abraham being faithful. And here's what he said in verse 19 of Hebrews 11. This is why Abraham knew that he could offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice, as God commanded. He said, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, or his resurrection. Abraham believed in God, and he knew that God, if the promise was to come through Isaac, and if he sacrificed Isaac as God required him to do, that God could immediately raise Isaac back up from the dead, because this is God's will. This is how much Abraham believed in God and trusted God, and his faith was strong. In 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning about verse 20, we read an account of Elijah the prophet. There had been a great famine, a great drought over the country. God made that drought to punish Israel. And he was about to make it rain again. He told Elijah, you go and talk to Ahab and tell him that I'm going to make it rain. Well, God, he knew that Ahab and Jezebel wanted to kill him. They'd done everything to kill him. They'd gone through the country and killed, they thought, all of the prophets of God, which of course they had not, but they thought they had. And so we find Elijah meeting with Ahab. Come to Mount Carmel. Bring your 450 prophets of Baal. I'm the only prophet of God that's left. And he said, you bring your 450 prophets of Baal. And we know what happened. He said, okay, you prophets of Baal, you build an altar over here to your God. You get some wood and put on it. You take a bullock and put on it, chop it up for sacrifice. But don't light it. I'll do the same thing. He said, and we'll call upon our God, and we'll see who sends fire to consume that sacrifice. Well, it got rather humorous as Elijah continued to kind of mock. What's the matter? Is your God asleep? Or is he traveling? Is he in a far country? Is he in contemplation about something else? What's the matter? Why won't your God light your sacrifice? You need to call louder. They began to call louder. They began to cut themselves with their knives and with their spears and their swords until their blood was flowing. And then he went to his altar. He built it back up with 12 stones, one for each one of the tribes. He put the wood on it. He dug a trench out around it. And then he asked, he said, bring water and put it on my sacrifice. They did. He said, bring it again. Three times water was brought until the trench around that altar with the sacrifice was full of water. And he asked God, God, show these people who is God. Show them who is the one that they should worship so that they will turn to you. And immediately that fire came from heaven, consumed not only the sacrifice, the altar, the water, every bit of it. Elijah turned to the people, said, who is God? You see who is God. Now, you take these prophets of Baal and kill them. And they were all put to death. This was because God is able to show his power and his strength and that he is in control. And it's amazing that people still would forsake God and ignore God and not listen to God. His people, they would fall away. Many examples. I could go on and on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Going in the fiery furnace. They believed that God, whether they were consumed or not, that God was the God of heaven. They would worship none other. God took care of them. Daniel in the lion's den. So many examples of God being able to fulfill his will. The punishing his people, sending them by the Babylonians into captivity. He set Nebuchadnezzar up on his throne. It wasn't he. He set him up, and when Nebuchadnezzar began to be so proud of what he had, his large kingdom, everything, God sent him out into the fields as a wild animal. His hair grew, his nails grew, the dew fell on him, he ate grass. This great king of the greatest kingdom on the earth at that time. God is able. What's God able to do for us today? I would say that God is able to continue his greatness. And perhaps we don't see the things that we read about in such an obvious way. But I believe God is still with us today, and God is still in control today. God's will is being done today. We may not see it because we don't have faith, but if we believe in God, we believe that our duty, our work on this earth is to obey God. Our work on this earth is to live our lives in accordance with the teachings of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, in order to go to heaven. And if we believe that, we know that we're going to suffer in this life, one way or another. But we are looking to heaven. I was impressed with the prayer this morning. I can't remember recalling too many people praying and thanking God for judgment and for eternity and looking forward to that. We should look forward to the judgment every day. Are we too tied to this life? If we are, we're not tied enough to God. We don't believe God is able. He is able. What's he able to do today? Well, he's able to save us. Do we believe that? We have to believe that in order to turn to Jesus Christ, his Son. God made the way for our salvation. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, the writer said, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him," by Jesus, "seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for us." That's what we must believe. God is able, that through his Son we have eternal life. But every promise, if you'll go back and you'll read through the whole Bible, every promise that God made to mankind had conditions. Every promise. And every condition was that you do my will. You obey me. You follow what I have said. God's will must be done by you and me if we're going to enjoy the salvation through Jesus Christ. We can't be fair weather Christians. We can't be come lately Christian. We have to be dedicated, God-serving, God-believing children of God. And God will be there for us. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." God is able to save us. We should never doubt that. We must listen to his condition. If we seek his Son, And God told the children that were following Jesus as he started his ministry, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Yet we are more concerned many times about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, where we're going to live, what kind of car we're going to drive. We're more concerned about those things than we are about, are we going to serve God as God wants us to serve him? God's able to save us. God's able to answer our prayers. Many people don't believe in prayer. They don't believe that God even hears our prayers, much less answers them. But God is able to answer our prayers. We have to remember that God, who in their right mind would say, "Okay, I'll just say yes to everything." Many today, children expect mom and dad to say yes to everything, every request they have. And it's not a very smart parent that would say, "Okay, I'll say yes, whatever you want." Neither does God say yes to everything that we want, because many things we want, we don't need. Many things we want are bad for us. Many things we want don't fit into his plan. And so we pray many times and we pray amiss, and our prayers are not answered. At least they're not answered positively. God answers all prayers. No is an answer. Not now is an answer. Yes is an answer. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I love this verse. God can do more than we can even imagine. We sit down with specific prayers and we point out, or we lay out to God, "Here's exactly what I want. Here's how I need it." We need to just turn it over to God. God, be with me in this. Help me in this. Because He knows what we need. And He can do beyond, so far beyond our imagination, that we can't even start to think of it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Turn it over to God. If we limit God, if we say, here's how I want it, He may give us this, just exactly that, but it won't be nearly as good as He would have given us if we'd left it to Him. God is also able to keep us. He's able to help us maintain our faith. He's able to help us remain a part of the body. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, Paul said to Timothy, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." God can keep us if we let Him. He will give us what we need if we let Him. Don't fight against God. Look throughout the Old Testament. How many times the people, God's people, thought they needed one thing when they really needed something else. And if we will turn it over to God, let Him have His way, know that He is able in all things to save us, to answer our prayers, and to keep us so that we will be ready when Jesus does come in that cloud to meet us. You can't know Jesus if you don't know God. If you don't understand what God's able to do, I pray that you'll seek Him. Find Him. That your faith will become stronger day by day. It will allow you to humble yourselves and give yourself to Jesus Christ. If you're not a member of the body of Christ this morning, there's no way to God except through Jesus. And the baptistry, everything is ready. If you know that you are ready, you need to obey the gospel for the forgiveness of your sins to be baptized, then we invite you to come and let us know. These men will be glad to assist you. If you need to repent, rededicate yourself, ask for prayers, any of these things, come and let us know while we stand together and sing.